Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message entitled, Enemies of God. And today's message is based on Ezekiel 39, 11 through 16. But let us first open with prayer. See, the Sovereign Lord comes with power, and He rules with a mighty arm. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms. He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory in the heavens, and through the praise of children and infants, You have established a stronghold against Your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Amen. So let us turn now in our Bibles to Ezekiel 39, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 16. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey and every sort, to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and those who live in the security of the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will let you make my name holy, and it be known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them profane my holy name any more. And then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the javelins and the spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any of the forest, because they will make fires with the weapons. They will plunder those who plundered them and pillage those who pillaged them, says the Lord. It will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea. It will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore they will call it the valley of the Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he will set up a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. The name of the city will also be Hamaran. Thus they shall cleanse the land. So we continue in the book of the prophet Ezekiel and the fate of Gog, who dared to defy God. It turned out not what Gog had wished for in his total defeat, but exactly as God intended and planned for the very glory of God. This passage may seem a little brutal, but consider it was written for a people long ago who were more exposed to such brutality. But also, this extreme message is also a message of hope for all believers. And chapter 39 begins just as chapter 38. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus says the Lord God, I am against you, O Gog. It is typical in Hebrew writing to repeat the same message for emphasis. And this appears here. The title Son of Man is for Ezekiel. Whether this was given to him from God or was just how this prophet referred to himself is not totally clear, but Ezekiel used it consistently in his book. The phrase sons of men is used extensively in the Psalms and also in Genesis. and here it simply refers to humanity. Both Ezekiel and Daniel use this for themselves, and also once in Micah. This was to separate themselves from God. They are only men who speak for God and never for themselves. And once we get to the New Testament, we get an entirely different use. In many places, Jesus uses this title for himself to display his human side and nature. When written as Jesus, these are capitalized to note the divinity side and nature of Jesus. To understand all of this clearly, we can never take single words or phrases and attempt to define them without being aware of the context that they are used. Correct understanding of Scripture requires a basic understanding of Scripture. As you read more and more, your foundation becomes stronger and more sure. And then these troubling words and verses will become clear, since you now know the context. We find that chapter 39 repeats much of 38, just differently. The overthrow of Gog and his forces is here retold in different language and in fuller detail. This is typical of Hebrew poetry and the kind of semi-poetic writings that are used in these oracles. It is fond of repetition and delights to revert to previous statements and enlarge on them. This battle rages in Israel as Gog is the invading force. Now going on to verses 3 and 4, I will knock the bow out of your hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand, and you will fall on the mountains of Israel and all your troops and peoples who are with you. Ezekiel described warfare as he knew it. A skilled archer was effective in battle, but not with the bow knocked from his hand and the arrows dropped to the ground. Gog's military effort against Israel would fail. Here we have archers, while in the book of Kings, the people feared chariots. Consider that these were considered modern weapons of war in their own times, and are here used both specifically as to what will actually happen, but also symbolically to refer to any weapon not yet conceived of at the time of Ezekiel that the Antichrist may employ. In verse 5, you shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord. The army of Gog will not have the ability to bury their own dead, for they will be completely wiped out, totally destroyed. The slain would simply fall with no one to assist or treat their bodies with any respect. Gog and his armies would not only be dead, but disgraced as their unburied corpses littered the field of battle. It will be seen as the serious and fatal weakness of the enemies of Israel that they will have their reliance on numbers and on their confidence that Israel's weakness means their strength and ultimate victory. But they fail, as always, to take God into account. And continuing verse 6, and I, God, will send fire on Magog and those who live in the security of the coastlands, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Either as part of the battle or soon afterwards, God promised to send fire against Gog's land, Magog. Gog brought the battle to Israel, but God would bring the battle to his homeland. The same fire that came upon Magog would also come against the coastlands. So what are the coastlands? In ancient times, this referred to the Phoenicians and the Philistines, enemies of Israel. And since this time, they were no longer a threat, so who could this be? Some have thought to connect the coastlands to the United States or other modern nations. There is no foundation for this other than speculation and mystery at the fact that many modern nations, such as the United States, seem to be unmentioned in biblical prophecy. At the time this was written, the isles referred to are the coastland and islands of the Mediterranean. Though the judgment of the enemies will occur in Israel, the catastrophe will extend far out to the ends of the earth to accomplish the purpose of God. These nations are anyone who opposes Israel, known or yet to be known, and those who attempt to benefit from the invasion of Gog or any future attack. What we must today face is that it is up to the eyes of God. We are either for God or against God. There is no lukewarm feeling that is acceptable. And from Revelation 3:15 through 16, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. We all must decide, and I would suggest we do it very soon, just where we stand in this. Are we God's own, or will we hedge our bets and take both sides and wait to see what happens? Meanwhile, we will continue to enjoy our sin-filled lives, hoping we can find the appropriate time to seek repentance and not miss out on any of the fun stuff. The same message applies to the nation of Israel, God's chosen. And from Genesis 12, 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We either support them or we oppose them. Again, any lukewarm response will be seen as opposition. When you are in serious trouble, do you want your friends standing away to await the outcome, or do you expect support in time of need? This is truly a time where we must decide if we will be true friends or remain selfish. Selfish will result in condemnation. So we continue, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. For surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord. For this is the day of which I have spoken. Now through this, God would reveal himself not only to Israel, but also to all the watching world. God would glorify himself through his defense of Israel and defeat Gog. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done. God solemnly affirmed Ezekiel's prophecy, the great victory over Gog would fulfill what God had spoken before. Going now to verses 9 through 10, then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set fire and burn the weapons, both shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, javelins and spears. They will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest. They will make fire with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. Those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons. Israel will destroy all the military equipment brought by Gog and his allies. Protected by God, they will no longer need the weapons for themselves. Usually, weapons left by a defeated army would be added to the victor's cache of arms. After all, there would be other battles to fight. But the war against Gog was to be no ordinary war. It would be the final battle, whose conclusion will make armaments obsolete. Now this is noted to be enough to last for 7 years. This speaks of the vast amount of military equipment brought by Gog and his allies and left behind on the field of battle. There would be so much that they could use their fuel for 7 years. They were not burning the weapons specifically, mostly made of wood handles, not only to destroy them, but for domestic use. They would not have to cut or gather wood for 7 years. So either this is a literal time, or again, with seven being the number of perfection, this supply of wood would last for all time when it is needed. And they will plunder those who plundered them. What the evil Gog and his allies intended for Israel would fall upon the defeated attackers themselves. They came to kill, steal, and rob. But God's might, they came just what they had wished on their Israelites. Just another vivid example of the law of recompense in the land. And now from verse 11, it will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, the valley of those who pass by the east of the sea, and will obstruct travelers because they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore they will call it the valley of Hamon Gog. Now to not bury an enemy was the ultimate insult. But God promised to give a proper burial to the slain soldiers of Gog and his allies. This could be considered as a compassionate act, but it was more probably to cleanse the land. The unburied bodies of the slain defiled Israel or any land, and God's renewed people would be so concerned to cleanse the land. We would say it more as it was just the right thing to do. And as God is always just, but I believe it is more than that. It clearly demonstrates that God is far better than any human emotion or logic, for God is God. Now Gog was given a burial place, but not a special tomb or monument, for it is the site of a mass burial. A common burial ground was suggested by the awkwardly singular form of Megon Som Gibber, literally, a place where there is a grave. That place would be called the Valley of Haman Gog, with the word Haman simply meaning a hoard, or the place or valley where the hoard of attackers are buried. There was no ceremony or privilege in this burial. It was simply something that must be done. And this was especially true for the Israelite nation. Now continuing verse 12, for 7 months the half of Israel will be burying them to cleanse the land. This was a mass job, for there were so many. If nothing else, the smell of rotting corpses would make the land unusable. Water runoff from rain would be unusable. The land would be unusable for any other purpose such as pasture or planting. And again, we have the 7 months, either a literal number of months or that this task would be a very consuming one. The number of bodies would be so great that it would seem to fill the valley where they were buried, making it impassable by travelers. So who got this lovely job? And from verses 13 and 14, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground. The effort to find and bury the remains of Gog's army would be organized and thorough in order to cleanse the land. It would become the talk of other nations as to the dedication of the people to this task, something these others would likely never do. For the land is from God, and it is in Israel. It was dedicated to God. It must be kept clean and suitable for God. And we conclude this selection with, at the end of the 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass, and anyone sees a man's bone, he shall set a marker by it until the buriers have buried it all in the valley of Haman Gog. And the name of the city will also be Hamana. They shall cleanse the land. At the end, they will make one more sweep of the valley to ensure that all the remains were properly disposed of. But notice now there are two separate groups, the seekers and those who actually bury. In the law of Moses, anyone who touches a dead body is ceremonially unclean and must go through the rite of being cleansed. This takes a number of days and requirements before the priest would declare you clean. At first, the job was so immense that everyone was required. But now, after the 7 months, most of the people would be considered clean, would only look for remains, mark them, and then leave them for the other group who would again become unclean while this remaining job was finished. There appears that a community was set up for these final workers to live, and it receives the name of Hamana, the city of the hoard. It may have been just a camp for a time, but eventually becomes a permanent town or city, for the land around it was not desirable and someone who would have to reclaim it. It could be the city was the reward for these hardy workers who defiled themselves for the sake of the whole, that they got something extra. And it concludes, thus they shall cleanse the land. Here we have another double meaning from Scripture. First was cleansing the dead bodies and restoring the land. The second is removing of any evil from the land in the form of Gog's army, and the evil this army symbolized. All signs of the army would have to be taken away so that there would be nothing left to instill any fear in the people. This is the spiritual battle we all must face and fight. The world drives us toward fear through media, politics, education, and by so doing, it is separating us from God, and separating us from God's love and the hope and trust that we need to survive in a cruel and sin-filled world today. We should seek God first and then allow Him to shelter us from the evil of the world that we may grow stronger in faith and become the light of Jesus to the world. We cannot be light when we live in fear. I began this message with that we are to find hope in this brutality. This passage tells of a great battle in the future, even the last days, paralleling what we find in other prophets in the book of Revelation. The great hope is in what happens to the enemies of God. They are and will be totally destroyed, total destruction, leaving God's people to a bright future of peace and being with our Lord Jesus. Many times it appears that evil is winning, but this message tells us clearly that is only an appearance. For we have read the last chapter. We know the final outcome. God wins. Amen. So let us close with a benediction. As we prepare to leave this place, we await your blessing so that we may be comforted by the assurance that you will be with us enduring the coming week. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Reigns Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed the message, you can go to www.talkwinchester.com, then the Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
is my soul.